Now, Kenilach, a long time ago, this was after the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Yidden were living outside of Eretz Israel in a place called Bavel. And later on, after Bavel, there were different kings and there were different people that took over in the Golas, and the Jews lived in Paras and Madai, different Goyish places in Golas. This is after the first Beis HaMikdash. And there came along a king named Ahasuerus. And Ahasuerus was a great king of the whole world, 127 countries. And that was the whole world at that time. He was the king of everyone. And Kenilach, Ahasuerus decided that he is going to make a very big, gigantic party. And the reason for this party was a few reasons, not just one. First of all, Ahasuerus was a chassan. He just had a chassana. He just got married. And he wanted to make a big simcha because he was so happy that he got married. And another reason that Ahasuerus wanted to make a big party is because he had a brand new throne to sit on. A king sits not on a chair, a regular chair. He sits on a kingly throne, which is the king's chair. Now, for 3 years, Ahasuerus had his throne being built by special builders because he wanted a special throne that was not like any other throne in the world except for one, and that was the throne of Shlomi HaMelech. Ahasuerus wanted a copy of the throne of Shlomi HaMelech because Nebuchadnezzar, he had the throne of Shlomi HaMelech, but he was afraid to sit on it. Now, what was the throne of Shlomi HaMelech? The throne of Shlomi HaMelech was the most beautiful throne in the whole world. First of all, there was 6 steps going up to the throne, and there was special things that happened when you put your foot on the step. You put your foot on the first step, and a golden lion comes over to you, and as you put your foot on the step, he helps you to go to the second step. He lifts you up to the second step. You put your foot on the second step, and there was another golden animal that came over and helped you go to the third step. And each step you put your foot on, and golden animals come and help you go up to the next step. Because there are 6 mitzvahs that a Jewish king has to keep. And each step, the king remembered a mitzvah of being a Jewish king as he went up the throne. And he sat down on the throne, and a golden bird came and gave him a crown over his head. And it held on his head the crown, that it shouldn't be too heavy. And another bird came and gave him a Sefer Torah. Because the king, wherever he went, he carried a Sefer Torah. And there was a special Sefer Torah that a king held because he was the king. Wherever he went, the king had a Sefer Torah. Wherever he went, except if you're not allowed, according to Torah, to go there, like into a Beis Kisei or something, the king was always walking holding a Sefer Torah. Now, when Ahasuerus tried to go up the throne, when he stole it from Yerushalayim, because Nebuchadnezzar came to Yerushalayim and stole things from the Beis HaMikdash, and he stole beautiful things, and he took them to Bavel and to Golas. He tried to go up the throne of Shlomi HaMelech, and the golden lion came and bit his foot and gave him a big zetz. And Nebuchadnezzar was very afraid to go up on that throne. And he said, I'm not going to go on this throne. And later on, another king took away the throne from Nebuchadnezzar, a paroi from Mitzrayim. And he went on the throne. He says, I'm not going to be a scaredy cat like Nebuchadnezzar. I'll go up on the throne. And he starts to go up on the throne. And the lion came and gave him such a bite and a zetz that he hurt his leg so bad that the rest of his life he was limping. And they called him Paroi Nechei, the limping paroi. When he walks, he cannot walk regular. He's got a on one leg. Every time he walks, it hurts and he has to limp. He doesn't walk regular. He walks not regular, like one leg doesn't work very good. And so Ahasuerus was afraid to go on the throne, but he wanted a throne just as beautiful as the throne of Shlomo HaMelech. So when he became the king, he got builders, and he said, you see that throne over there? I want you to copy that throne exactly and build me a throne that looks exactly like that throne. And the builder said, well, if you already have that throne, why don't you have that throne and go on that one instead of copying it? He says, nope, I'm afraid. I will not go on that throne, because if you go on that throne, something happens to you. So I want a different throne. Now, of course, on this different throne, the animals didn't work like they did on Shlomo HaMelech's throne, but at least it was very beautiful. It took 3 years to build it, and the day that it was finished, Ahasuerus knew he was going to be so happy, he must have a party to show off the throne. So that's the second reason for the party. The first reason was because he was a chusin, and he got married to Vashti HaMalka, and the second reason was because his special throne was finished that he could sit on. And the third reason, and maybe even the biggest reason, is because Ahasuerus said the Jews will always be in Golis and never go back to Eretz Israel. Ha ha ha. Because Ahasuerus knew, it says in the Nevi'im, the Halakha Tzadikim, they said that we Jews, when we go away from Eretz Israel, it's only going to be for 70 years. That's what we know from Ruach HaKodesh. And after 70 years, we're going to go back to Eretz Israel and build the second base of Mikdash. And they started counting the years until it got to 70. And in the 70th year, and this was the same time that Ahasuerus became a chosen and Ahasuerus finished the throne. That was the 70th year. And the 70th year went by and it became now the end of the year. The Jews still lived in Paras and Madai, and they still were under the kingdom of Ahasuerus, and they didn't go back to Israel, and they didn't get a second base of Mikdash. And so Ahasuerus says, you see, Hashem has left them in Golis. And now I'm the king of all the Jews. And forever the Jews will be here and not go back to Eretz Israel, because the 7 years went by and they still didn't go back. And he was so happy about that, that he's going to make a big party. There's only one problem, that Ahasuerus made a mistake in counting the numbers. He couldn't keep straight up to 70, and he counted wrong. He couldn't count all the way to 70 right, so he counted wrong, and he got all mixed up, maybe by 52 or 68 or something like that, or maybe 46. He got all mixed up with the numbers, and really he was off by a few years, because in 70 years exactly, 70 years after the Eden went away, they came back to Eretz Israel. That was later. But, you know, Ahasuerus got all mixed up in numbers. You know, it's kind of hard to halt cup so much with numbers. And therefore, he made a mistake, and he thought that it's time to make a party because the Jews are going to be in Golis. And so Ahasuerus decided he's going to make a big party for 180 days. That's a very long party. Fancy schmancy party with delicious food and good wine and fancy things going on and music and dancing and jokers and entertainment. And then he's going to make a special party for Shushan HaBira for 7 days and invite everyone, not just the officers and his friends, but everyone can come to the party for free. They can eat whatever they want and as much as they want and drink whatever they want and as much as they want. And they can get all kinds of fun things over there. And everyone is invited. And Ahasuerus sent out his messengers into the town and into the cities and into the 127 countries and into Shushan HaBira. And they said, everyone is invited to the big party by King Ahasuerus. Come to the party for free and have a good time and bring your family and friends. And in the shuls, the Yidden heard the announcements. Everybody can come? You mean, we could also go to the party. Oh, that's going to be a lot of fun to go to such a fun party by the king in the palace and see all the fancy schmancy stuff and all delicious food. Oh, wait a minute. What if the food is not going to be kosher? The king wouldn't serve us kosher food, would he? And all of a sudden in the Jewish neighborhoods, the messengers came in. And for the Jews will be special kosher tables with kosher food. So even the Jews can come and have kosher food by the king's party. Oh, kosher food. What could be better? Let's get ready to go to the party. All of a sudden, Kinalach, the leader of the Yidden, and his name was Mordechai HaYehudi, Mordechai HaTzadik, he told the Yidden, don't go to the party, even if it's kosher food. Because even if it's kosher food, first of all, who knows how kosher the king is going to make the food? And who knows if a person will get mixed up maybe and go to a different table that doesn't have kosher food? Because it's going to be all kinds of treifa food there also. And it's very easy to mix up all the dishes and all the foods. And also, what kind of a place is going to be with all the goyim there, and the Jews are going to be there in such a goyish place? There's different kosher than just what goes in your mouth. What about what your eyes look at? It also has to be kosher. What if it's not going to be tznius over there? And by a party of 180 days with a lot of wine and a lot of drinking and a lot of goyim, you can imagine what kind of a tznius is going to be over there and how people are going to talk. What about your ears? What goes in your ears also has to be kosher. What kind of things are people going to be saying over there? What are goyim do by a party of 180 days after drinking a lot? They're going to be talking such nice things and speaking nice things? Or maybe Chas V'Shalom, it's not going to be tznius dika kind of things. What are they going to talk about over there? And who knows what else can happen when people have been drinking for 180 days? This is not the kind of a Yiddish place that a Yiddish person should go to such a party. And even if it's kosher food, don't get fooled by these promises. No, we Jews have better things to do than to go to such a party as Ahasuerus wants to invite us. And the Yidden were talking about Mordechai. And most of the Yidden, of course, said, we have to listen to our tzaddik. Our tzaddik is our leader, and he tells us what to do and what not to do. So we better stay home and not go to the party. But Kinalach, there were many Jews also that had a different way of thinking, because they weren't so strongly attached to Mordechai HaTzadik. And they said, look, you know, we still daven, and we still learn a little bit, and we still do mitzvahs, and we still keep Shabbos. So what's the big deal? We go to a geisha party and have some fun. So we'll be careful and go only to the kosher tables. And we'll try not to listen to what the goyim say over there too much. But if the king invited us to party, why shouldn't we go and have some fun? It'll be fun by the party. And so, Kinalach, 10,000 Jews went to the party of Achashverosh. 10,000 Jews went to the party of Achashverosh. And they went on over there, and they saw all the beautiful things, and all the goyim, and all the drinking, and all the music. And they felt a little bit uncomfortable at first, and they found their way to the kosher tables, and they tried to find out what kind of heksher it is over there. They weren't really too sure, but they were very hungry, and they start to eat. And all of a sudden, they see the goyim are bringing into the treifa tables all this chazarai and chazar flesh. And all of a sudden, one of the yidden says, hey, look at those beautiful dishes they're serving over there at the treifa tables. I never saw such beautiful golden plates and golden bowls. But wait a minute. There's chazar in a golden bowl, and there's Hebrew letters on the golden bowl. What are Hebrew letters doing on a golden bowl with chazar flesh? All of a sudden, another yid started to shake. He says, oy vey, did we make a mistake to come to this party? They're serving in the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. Nebuchadnezzar, when he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, took away all the kelim. And now Achashverosh, to show off all the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, he was using them to serve the treifa chazer flesh by his party. Serving the treifa chazer flesh in the bowls that used to be used in the Beis HaMikdash for the Karbanis. And all of a sudden the trumpets blew, beep, 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 beep. And they announce Achashverosh now is going to come in his costume. Every day Achashverosh wore another costume to the party. He loved costumes, Achashverosh. He loved to put on masks and different kind of clothes. Besides, of course, his beautiful king's clothes, but he liked to show off funny costumes. And every day Achashverosh came in different clothes and different costumes. And now they blow the trumpets and they say, Achashverosh has a special costume today at his party, because he wants to show the Jews especially his costume. And all of a sudden the Yidden see Achashverosh dressed up in the big day kahuna, the clothes of the Kohen Gadol. Nebuchadnezzar had stolen the clothes of the Kohen Gadol that he wore on Yom Kippur into the Kodesh Kedoshim. Well, actually, he didn't wear those. He wore them on Yom Kippur, but in Kodesh Kedoshim, he wore special clothes, the simple clothes, the white clothes, but the rest of the time he wore the fancy things with the cheshen, with the jewels in it, and the special. We had the Avnei Sheham and all the beautiful golden clothes. Kinalach, Achashverosh was wearing the clothes, the Kohen Gadol, that he used to wear on Yom Kippur and used to do the avoid of the Beis HaMikdash. And he was now wearing them like a costume, making fun, like a costume at a party. Oy vey, what a mistake to come to this goyisha party, to be fooled by promises of kosher food. And we have to be here and look at all of these things going on. And some yidden, of course, left right away, but other yidden said, oh, let's stay and have a good time. Oh, Hashem got very angry. Hashem got so angry. What kind of a chil Hashem to stay at this party? to be at this party, to come in the first place, and then to stay and to have fun at the Goyish party? Forget the kosher food. What about being in such a place with what's going on? And Hashem decided He's got to punish the Yidden for having a good time at the Suda of Achashverosh. And Hashem made a gzeir in the Himmel that the Jewish people will have to be destroyed. Now, what happens is, Kinalach, that if only a part of the Jewish people does something, it doesn't only be them that can get in trouble for it, but the rest of the Jews, because they should have said to their friends, don't go to the party. They should have stopped them. They should have said to their friends, even the ones that didn't go to the party and the neighbors are going out of the house, their friends should have come out, don't go to the party, you're doing a terrible thing. Mordechai said, don't go. But with the ones that went to the party, they went. And the ones that didn't go to the party, they said, you know, yeah, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe we should also go. But, you know, we'll stay home. We'll listen to Mordechai. But, you know, they're lucky they get to go to the party. Did it hurt them so much their friends went to the party? So it's just like they also went to the party. And so that day that King Achashverosh made that Suda, they became a gzeira in the Himmel, that the Jewish people will all have to get punished because of the Suda of Achashverosh, that they went and had fun and had a good time and enjoyed it, the Goyish Suda. And this happened in the third year that Achashverosh was the king. Now, Kinalach, the interesting Maisa of the Megillah goes on. And now, Kinalach, it was the seventh day of the party of Achashverosh, and it was Shabbos. And the king was very shikir. He was so shikir, his head was spinning around like a dreidel. And when a person gets very shikir, they really don't know what they're doing too much. And now the king said, let's have fun. Let's call Vashti to come to our party and show everyone how beautiful she is. And she should march around in front of all the men and show herself how beautiful she is. And let's have fun that Vashti should come now with her crown and make her parade around. And the king sent his messengers to call Vashti that she should come in front of all the men. And they go to Vashti. And they say, Vashti, get ready to come in front of all the men and make a parade to show how beautiful you are. Everybody wants to see you with your crown on. Now, Kinalach, Vashti didn't want to go so much to all the men, even though she was very beautiful and she liked to show herself off how beautiful she was. But she felt that to go in front of all the men with her crown and show everybody how beautiful she is, she didn't exactly want to do it, but the king said she's got to do it. And she's got a problem, because not only her husband asked her to do it, but the king asked her to do it. Now what happens if the king says to do something? You have to do it. If not, you can get in big trouble, right? And Vashti says, just a minute, I have to get ready. So she starts to get ready. And she goes in front of the mirror to see how beautiful she is. And all of a sudden, oh no, look. Hashem made that she got a tail growing out of her just like a doggy. A tail like a doggy started growing out of her. And she got pimples all over her face. And she looked so yucky and ugly with a tail like a dog and pimples. And she says, I can't go in front of all the men with a tail and pimples. They'll make fun of me. I look like a dog. I look like a doggy with pimples. I'll be embarrassed. And she says, I'm not coming. Tell the king I'm not coming. and she slammed the door. And the messengers go back and they tell the king, Vashti refuses to come. She doesn't want to come in front of all the men in her crown and show how beautiful she is to everyone. And the king says, but I told her to come. She broke the rule of a king. She didn't listen to me. I'm very upset. What am I going to do? And the king called in the 7 special officers of the king. And he says, Vashti won't come to make a parade in front of all the men dressed up in her crown. And now people know that I called Vashti and she won't come. I don't know what to do. On the one hand, she's my wife. So, I have to be nice to my wife. But she didn't listen to me. On the other hand, I'm the king. She has to listen to the king. So I have to punish her because she didn't listen to the king. And Ahasuerus says to his officers, what should I do? And the officers put their heads together and they start talking. And some of the officers said, well, maybe the king should just let it go. Because after all, it's his wife. It's his new wife. And, you know, she didn't want to come to the party to show off how beautiful she is in front of all the men. But Kinelach, the lowest of the officers, and his name was Memuchan, and this was really Haman, he was the lowest of the officers. He said to the other officers, no, you're wrong. He was very chutzpahdik, and he spoke up in front of the other officers and told them, you don't know what you're talking about. Ahasuerus, the king, cannot let this go. How is it going to look in the eyes of all the people? The king said something and somebody didn't listen and the king let it go. This is a king, they're going to say? He's a wishy-washy weakling. He says something and he lets it go. What kind of a king? He's a weakling. He's a gurnisht. And then people are going to say, if Vashti doesn't listen to the king, we don't have to listen to the king either. So the king says something, we're going to say, oh, that's what you say, but we're going to do different. And so people are going to start not listening to the king. They won't care because they know the king is not going to do anything to them if they don't listen, just like he didn't do to Vashti. And also, what are the women going to say to the husbands? The husband is going to say to his wife, I need you to do something for me today. And the wife is going to say, do it yourself. I'm not going to do what you ask me to do. And the husband will say, but you're my wife. I ask you to do something. I'm supposed to be the boss. And the wife will say, yeah, but if Vashti doesn't listen to her husband, we don't have to listen to you. If the queen doesn't have to listen to Ahasuerus, why we have to listen to you? We don't have to listen to you what you say. And so the women, the wives, were not going to listen to the husbands anymore. And it's going to be a big trouble in all of the 127 countries. And everybody will be mad at Ahasuerus. They'll say, Ahasuerus, our wives don't listen to us because Vashti didn't listen to you. You didn't do nothing about it. And so Memuchan, who was really Haman, says, Vashti should be killed. And that will show everybody that when the king says something, you gotta listen. And when a husband says something, the wife has to listen. And Ahasuerus said, so be it. Vashti should be killed. And so they took Vashti on that Shabbos. And they killed Vashti. Nakinalach. Everything from Hashem is mida keneged mida, hashkacha pratis. If a thing happens at a certain time, there's a reason for it. If a thing happens in a certain way, there's a reason for it. Hashem does everything with a din and a cheshbon. Why was Vashti killed on a Shabbos? Because Vashti, kinalach, did very mean things to Jews on Shabbos. Vashti used to have servants. just like any queen, or even before she was the queen, because she was a princess, because she came from the Nebuchadnezzar, she had servants all the time. She never did anything for herself. She had servants. She bossed them around. Bring me my breakfast. Bring me my sweater. Bring me my shoes. Clean the floor. Take out the garbage. Go shopping for me and buy me something that I want. Go to the kitchen and get me a drink of juice. She didn't do it herself. She bossed people around. And she